What you saw is a 5.5 minute segment of a 32 minute video that we have some scientists. We have a discussion about the West Coast, the Chesapeake Bay area. We look at different areas along the East Coast, and we want to add, actually, we've got the film is in complete now. We do want to add some additional segments if we're able to, but we're going to be doing a premiere at the Florida Film Festival later this fall. And we did the initial presentation of the full film in Delaware. But we go into greater examples and we discuss sea level rise. One reason I wanted to share this with you all is that as some of the issues that we wrestle with that oftentimes involve public works projects that are locating in sensitive aquatic systems or on the edges of sensitive aquatic systems, and they're subject to various threats, floods, that sort of thing. And so the idea of removal of subsidies that promote new infrastructure in these sensitive areas, that, in other words, we support the Coastal Barrier Resources Act, we support its continuation, and if there's ways of expanding it, we would be supportive of that. Sometimes when I say that, people interpret it as, you mean a literal expansion of Coastal Barrier Resources Act to save America's riverine floodplains. There may be, not suggesting that it has to be done verbatim, but some lessons learned could be extrapolated to other systems that are where we have essentially what we consider perverse subsidies. There's a lot of downsides to that, both in terms of economy and in terms of habitat. So we think that the Coastal Barrier Resources System was, and it wasn't intended to be at that time, we didn't use the same parlance, but it was an early example of climate adaptation, although that they didn't use those terms when the bill passed in the early 80s. So that we think that this is you could take lessons learned from this and extrapolate that to other federal programs, laws, and we're attempting to right now in Florida. We've had some successes with modifying some of the state policies to make them more congruent with the Coastal Barrier Resources Act. In fact, in some cases, they were very much in conflict. You had state incentives when you just removed federal incentives. Well, we're working now with the Florida Senate on possibly getting our state laws more in line with the federal laws. So. That's the message that I'd like to send to you all. It's just something to think about in the different programs that I know Dan and I were just talking about some of the areas that port expansion. There are a lot of cases where, you know, it's like every port wants to expand. It's almost axiomatic. And there are some ports that have just tremendously valuable natural resources around the port mouths, and they're affected. And in some cases, maintenance of those ports and keeping up with the maintenance schedule of those ports, rather than a massive expansion of it, is really the better way to go. And those. You know, David is an expert here, and I'm treading on the ground that he knows very well. But the fact is that there's not enough money. There's huge amounts of dollars that go into these projects, and we need to think about where is it most cost effective and get those economic arguments intertwine really well with the ecosystem and the environmental benefits. So I'll just end right there and look forward to the other people's presentations. Thank you.
Okay.